our vision as a church is transform lives. And transform lives is two parts. One is when someone who doesn't know Jesus meets Jesus, and in that moment, the Bible says it's not like you join the Christian club and try to be a better person. It's not like you join the church and try and follow a moral code. When you connect to God and you let Jesus into your life, the Bible says you literally become born from above spiritually. You become a new creation. You're not the old you trying to be a better version of you. You actually are a new creation. And so that is the most powerful moment of transformation. That's our vision as a church, to help people who aren't in relationship with Jesus begin a relationship with Jesus, and the transformation happens in a moment. So if you're here today and you don't have a living relationship with God, at the end of the service, I want to pray with you to help you connect with Him, not to join a religion, not to follow a moral code, but actually a relationship with Jesus that changes you on the inside. That's the first part. So that's the moment of being transformed. Then the second part, the Bible says that once that happens, we have Christ on the inside of us, and we're being transformed into the image of Christ. That means bit by bit we're becoming more like Jesus. And that's why we need church. That's why we need community. That's why we need to be in worship and hear the word preached and in the Bible, have some friends at Connect Group who'll keep us accountable. Come on, somebody. And so bit by bit, we become more like Jesus. We become more loving. Hello, who's become more loving since you became a Christian? All right. We become more gracious, more peaceful, more joyful, more holy. Because that's Jesus, more caring about others, more passionate in our lives, more purposeful in our lives. It's a journey of transformation to become like Jesus. So if you've been saved, you've been transformed, but you are being transformed. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've been transformed. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you're being transformed. Come on, you're being transformed right now. Just, okay, one more time to the other neighbor, go, I've got a bit to go. Come on, I've got a bit to go. Some of you. No, that was about yourself, not about the person beside you. All right, we're being transformed. The Bible calls it sanctification. So I want to help today, and my message is going to help us in that journey of being transformed. When we had little kids, when we had our two boys and our gorgeous daughter Gemma, who followed us down this weekend. No, she was first. When we had our kids, on Saturday morning was chore morning. Who does chores on Saturday morning? Give me a wave. Saturday afternoon, who's the chores? Who pretends they're not real, and then when they bank up, you just give them a hit every now and then. Well, we made it Saturday morning was chore morning. And so because Danielle's an amazing mum and organiser of our home, we set this whole little experience up for our kids to make it fun. Okay, I'm not sure that they were tricked, but this was the goal. And so Dan would get all the little chores and write them on an individual piece of paper, like sweep the patio, pick up the toys in the lounge room, whatever it was, put them all in an ice cream bucket, and then the kids would come along and pick out one chore, just like Lucky Dip. I mean, how awesome is that? How much fun would that be? Pick out a chore and then go and do the chore, and then when they've done the chore, come back and get a lolly as a reward for doing the chore. Who wouldn't want to be in a family like that? Amazing, right? And so we also, to make it fun, because it was chores, it was like a party, we created a playlist on our iPod. Okay, who's an iPod generation person here? Yeah, okay. All right, so we play this little playlist, and some of it, so this is 20 years ago or so, in that day, Shrek, it was all about Shrek. All right, so who's in the, give me a wave if you're in your 20s right now. All right, so this is you guys. You're the Shrek generation. You love Shrek, right? And so we would play all these songs. I thought love was only true and fair, and it would play. And so, you know, then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. There it is. Now I'm a believer. So whenever this songs come on the radio or when we're out and about, it takes me back to Chorland. They're like, oh, there's that song. And because we had a playlist, it was that song. Danielle, when she was, okay, so that was those you guys in your 20s, in your teens, and it was the iPod. So you're like the iPod generation. If you're maybe in your 30s right now, you're more the CD generation. You grew up on CDs in your, who's in your 30s? Give me a wave. The CD generation, all right. All right, now just own it. Come on. All right, if you're like maybe 40s to 50s, it was tapes. cassette. Come on, give me your, if you're in that, that's your generation. All right. So for those of us who, that was our day. So I used to listen on tapes just after the record, the vinyl. Okay, give me a wave. Vinyl generation, give me a wave. Thank you. Love that. We're a multi-generational church. Love that. We won't go back to the sonograph or whatever. Anyway, so Danielle had a mixtape when we started dating. So what you created, a mixtape, was you took your favorite song of all the different tapes and you dubbed it. I'm not sure illegally or not. We won't talk about that. And you put it on to, probably legal, knowing Danielle. And we put it on to, your favorite soundtracks. So hers was like Mariah Carey, Celine Dion, Whitney Houston, and I will. That's it. There we go. Beautiful. That was the soundtrack. That was her love soundtrack. It was fun. We, some of you have got Taylor Swift on repeat from the last couple of months, and you got the Tay Tay. How many Tay Tay fans have we got in the house? Four of you. We've got. Well, we'll count Tiani because she's in next door. She's a fan. All right, shaking it off together, whatever it might be. So we're talking about soundtracks or playlists. And soundtracks or playlists, they're often good. You know, you go away and you have this great worship song and you sing it all day. You get stuck playing it. Then there's some also stuff you get stuck playing in your head. You don't like it, like Baby Shark, da 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 da. Okay, okay. Again, this will be the iPod generation who are in your 20s right now, but you'll remember the Wiggles, mashed potato, mashed potato. Yeah. You're the yellow Wiggle where the yellow Wiggle was Greg. Right? The real Wiggles. Not whatever they are now, right? Okay, just saying. All right, anyway, these are soundtracks. These are things that can get stuck in your head or getting stuck on the inside of you. And today I want to talk about the soundtrack that you have and that I have about you, about me, about ourselves. And the title of my message is called A New Soundtrack. A new soundtrack. And you might have heard bits of this over the years if you've been part of Powerhouse Conference, but I really felt to preach it today because I feel like we live in a day and age where particularly social media and that iPod generation, those of you in your teens and 20s, get bombarded by a whole lot of messages that will rob your confidence of who you are in God and will cause you to second guess yourself and not go into the promises that God has for you. The soundtrack that I'm talking about today, some would call it your self-image. It's the way you see yourself. It's the words that are written on your heart, engraved on your heart through life, through parents, through experiences, through authority figures. And when you think about you, these are the things that go through your mind about you. You might not even be aware of it. The voice of our subconscious, if you like. Psychologists would call it your core belief. Who you think about you. So when you think about you, what are the thoughts that come to mind from deep within? I want you to know that this is important because if those thoughts don't line up with who God says you are, then when it comes to your moment to step into your God call and destiny and future and the opportunities that God has for us, if we don't have the right God image on the inside of self-image, we'll get to that point and we'll balk because we won't have the confidence in who God's created us to step into our future. This happened to the children of Israel after they'd been released from Egypt. They wandered in the wilderness for a little while and they sent out some spies to go and look at the promised land that was theirs for the taking right there and then. It's what God wanted for them. It's what God had for them. And so they sent these spies in and they came back with a report. Numbers 13:33 says this, "There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." Our soundtrack was we're small and insignificant. Our playlist was that we don't have what it takes for this promised land. And therefore, here's the thing. When your soundtrack says I'm inferior, I'm insignificant, I'm not good enough, I can't do this, you start thinking everybody else thinks that about you. Because it's your core belief. How did they know that the giants thought that they looked like grasshoppers? They didn't know. They didn't do a survey of all the giants and said, "Now, what do you think of us when you see us?" They didn't get anywhere near them. Because of their inner soundtrack or playlist about themselves, they actually projected that everybody else thought this about them. If you've got a soundtrack that says, I don't belong, if you've got a soundtrack that says, I'm not good enough, an inner core belief, then you'll interpret everybody else's words, actions through that filter and start thinking everybody's down on you, nobody believes in you, you know. What is that? Is that them? No, more like 99% of the time, people aren't thinking about you and me. They're thinking about themselves. They're thinking about how they survive in this world. And we're sort of thinking, oh, wow, they walked past me and didn't say hi. Well, maybe they just got... Anyway, we'll just go on. So your soundtrack matters. How you think about you matters. And I can't change your soundtrack. I can't change your playlist. But you can. With the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind into a new person. See, the devil wants to corrupt your soundtrack, your self-image. He wants to distort it. He's put a virus in the program, and the whole aim of it is to rob you of your godly confidence. So the outcome of the wrong soundtrack or wrong thinking is ultimately people live with anxiety that cripples them because their soundtrack's wrong. People live with depression because their soundtracks. People live with intimidation, thinking, I'm not good enough. I couldn't do that. I couldn't step into that. And we want to have a church that's where people have humility, yes, but godly confidence as well, so you can do all that God has called you to do. When Danielle and I became the senior pastors of this church, 29 and 27 years old, in the year 2000, we were kind of like last couple standing to be the senior pastors. That's what it felt like. Or the junior pastors, because we were so young anyway. And so our pastors were moving to Canada, to Vancouver, to start the first C3 or Christian City Church, it was at that stage, in Canada. And we were asked to be the senior pastors. And really for the last couple of years, up until 2000, we were the assistant pastors, preaching, leading, doing a lot of the different roles of strategy, team building, etc., of being senior pastors. So when it came to this auspicious day in June 2000, where we were going to be prayed for to be the senior pastors, we had a visiting preacher come in, a guy called Mike Connell, who we've had different times since then, and he's getting to this moment of inducting us, if you like, to be the senior pastors. And I've got a little thing in my mind of how the day is going to go. Mike's going to come along and tell everyone how awesome Danielle and I are. And he's going to prophesy us about how the next 5 years of the church are going to be the best we've ever seen. And he's going to prophesy about the call and the gift of God in our life. And we're going to feel so pumped up from this anointed prophetic word. And then we'll leave that place 10 foot tall and we'll be unstoppable. That's what I think is going to happen. Mike comes, gets the microphone, and he starts banging on about spiritual weight. He starts talking about pressure. Responsibility. He starts talking about how now that the responsibility and pressure that's been on the senior pastors as they go, that's going to come on us. And I'm there going, let's just get to the prophecy. Come on, let's move past that stuff. So he gets us to stand up the front of our church and hold hands. And he says, in a moment, I want you to take a step forward. And in that moment, there'll be a spiritual transaction and the authority to lead this church will come on you. But the weight for leading this church will also come on you. It'll be a transition. It'll literally come to you. So, okay, we're like, all right, whatever. Come on, let's just do this. Hold hands, step forward, fall over under the power of God, and I get up instantly depressed. Instantly. Like, what the heck just happened? I get up, and when that happens, when spiritual weight comes on you, whatever your soundtrack is, even if it's been a little hidden, gets squeezed to the surface. And so all of my inferior thoughts and insecurities now under this weight get squeezed to the surface, and I'm starting to think, I don't have what it takes. I don't. And literally over the next few weeks and months, I start to get bombarded in my mind with self-doubt, and you're not like this preacher, and you're not like the last guy, he was amazing, you're not like this, and you're not like, all of this comparison stuff began to rob me, and I realized, I didn't have the language for it at that place, but what was going on is my soundtrack under spiritual pressure was being magnified, and I needed a new soundtrack. So we'll get to what we did a little bit later on, but this is not a new thing for us here. You find it all through the Bible. God comes and taps Moses on the shoulder, says, you're going to deliver my people. And he goes, who? Me? I can't even speak. He says to Gideon, you're going to be used to deliver God's people. And he goes, well, I'm the least of the least clan. Why would God choose me? God taps Saul on the shoulder and he's tall and handsome, the Bible says, and head and shoulder above everybody else. And he comes to get used in the moment where he's supposed to be ordained. He didn't even make it to his induction moment. Bible says he was hiding in the baggage. It's like at the airport carousel, going around and around and around and around. That's Saul. He's just hiding. He's intimidated. His soundtrack is beginning to play. God comes to Jeremiah. He says, you can't use me. I'm but a youth. I'm too young. He comes to Timothy to use him, and Paul has to write to him and say, you know, you're not too young, and you're not, God didn't give you this intimidation or timidity you're feeling. God gave you love, power, and a sound mind. So if you're facing the feelings of inferiority, insecurity, anxiety about what you're facing in the future, you're in good company with a lot of people in the Bible, but God just doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to get answers to come out through that. So I want to help you get some answers. Who's ready for some answers today? All right, three things we want to talk about this morning so that we don't have to live under timidity. We don't have to live under anxiety. We don't have to live under fear, but we can live with the godly confidence that God's got for you. You ready to go? All right, the first thing that we need to do is we need to actually recognize and repent the lies that we believe. The lies. There's some harmless lies we believed when we were kids, you know, like when Mr. Whippy goes past with the music, then he's run out of ice cream. They don't sell replacement batteries for that toy. You might have heard that before. One mum who was having a hard time with her kid, she went through the shopping center and just told her, every time you touch a toy, a little baby kitten dies. Little extreme. That's probably crossing the line, parents. Don't recommend that. You know, parents will say lies, but the other thing is it happens is sometimes parents say things about us that are lies, but we take them as truth. And that creates the beginning of a soundtrack because of what our parents said or didn't say, what bullies said, what teachers said, what experience said. And suddenly we create an internal dialogue. This is your soundtrack or playlist. It's subconscious, it's not overt, but things someone goes, oh, I always get it wrong. Oh, I'm not smart enough. I'm a loser. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm inferior. I'm not good enough. I don't have what it takes. My past disqualifies me. I'm a failure because of my past. My personality couldn't be used by God. I'm too much of an introvert. I'm too much of an extrovert. I don't even know what I am. I don't know what my gifts are. If I step out, I'll get hurt again. I don't belong in this place. God won't answer my prayers. These are little subtle lies. And sometimes you go to pray something, but your heart betrays you. Your subconscious betrays you. That's your soundtrack. Not necessarily what's going on up here. It's what's gone up on here, but it's got into here. Bible talks about what's been engraved on our heart. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 and 5 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. When we're changing our soundtrack, this is what we're doing. We're pulling down a stronghold. A demonically energized thought pattern that resists God moving in our lives. We're pulling down. So God's given us weapons to pull down our strongholds. How do we do it? Casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Okay, here's a newsflash. Someone maybe never heard this before, but you don't have to believe your thoughts. Every thought you have does not necessarily represent truth. Every thought that comes to you about you, God, life, circumstances, your past and your future, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, needs to be questioned. So what we need to do is go on a bit of an exercise over a month and say, Holy Spirit, every day I think some thoughts. Now, I'm focusing particularly about myself, but it can be about God, church, or all sorts of things. But when I think about myself, if I think a thought that doesn't line up with what you say about me, I am going to take that thought and I'm going to circle it and I'm going to write it down on a list of lies that I believe, and I'm going to bring that thought captive. I'm going to take it captive and I'm going to put it under my feet. And so the starting place for getting free from intimidation and a new soundtrack is to recognize, what are the lies you believe? Maybe you could ask your partner, what have you heard me say about myself that's not true? I know, awkward, right? That could be cool. Do that when you're both happy and praying together, like I recommend. What are these lies? Holy Spirit, help us to recognize and repent. Because if I've come into agreement with these lies, if I've just assumed that they're true, then they're in the dark and they're empowered. So if I'm going to break the lies, I need to both recognize them but repent and say, Jesus, I am so sorry for believing that I'm inferior. I am so sorry. I'm repenting of this lie for believing that I don't have what it takes, that I'm not good enough, that I'm not smart enough, that whatever it is, I repent of believing that lie. And you begin to break the cycle of intimidation to change your soundtrack. So that's number one, recognize and repent. Number two, what we have to do is we have to rebuke and resist the spirit behind these lies. Okay, so we're in spiritual warfare when it comes to creating a new soundtrack. If the devil can't stop you being a Christian, what he's going to try and do is stop you having the truth thoughts about God and about yourself. And he's going to poison them and he's going to try to rob you of your confidence. There's a great story in the Bible, and you can read it in 1 Kings 18, where Elijah's been on top of a mountain of Carmel, had this awesome victory and this great battle, and it's like when I get to heaven and I get to go to the big IMAX theater in heaven and watch a replay of the Bible stuff, this will be one on my first top five. I'm like, I'm going to watch the prophets of Baal, fire from heaven, eats up the sacrifice, waters. It's just like this epic moment. I'm also going for the Red Sea crossing over. Because just, you know, I feel like if I was a little kid crossing the Red Sea, I would have been putting my finger in the wall, in like the water walls. I don't know about you. So just yeah, that's it. The whole thing all along the way, right? One of those kids. That'll be my son Jackson. We'll be diving into that to try and getting out of it, all right? Anyway, I digress. There's this story, and Elijah, he's just had the greatest conference moment of all time. The drought's been broken. God's literally sent lightning from heaven. All the prophets of Baal have been destroyed. He should be like, you know, he's just outrun the chariots. He's like, if you read the story, it's epic. But then something really weird happens. Jezebel, the reigning queen of this moment who wasn't on the mountain, sends a message to Elijah. And she says, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of the prophets of Baal who just got killed by tomorrow about this time. He's just had this amazing victory. God has demonstrated how unbeatable he is, like, with God. He gets one message from Jezebel, and what you think, he's going to go, ha, as if God's for me. Look what he just did. I'm unstoppable. God's with me, victory after victory. Who do you think you are to stand up against God? He's going to do David to Goliath. No, this is what happened. When he saw that, not just when he heard that, she said something that created a picture in his mind about him getting killed. He arose and ran for his life, went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, left his servant there. He goes on and he basically becomes suicidal. Says, God, kill me now. This guy goes from an amazing victory to completely depressed and suicidal and anxious. What happened? Some words that had a spirit on them. Remember a great preacher I know made this statement. He said, demons are like surfers. Apology to all the surfers here today. But surfers travel on waves and demons travel on words. And so in this moment of Jezebel sending a message, on the words that she sent, surfed a demonic spirit of intimidation and control that literally, as he heard those words, he shut down spiritually. And there are words that come against you, and they can be from friends, people who aren't really aware of what's going on. They can jump off a screen on off a flipping iPhone while you're looking, or particularly a Galaxy, while you're looking at the screen. Come on, Dan Fraker, I can't believe you crossed over off Apple. Now we can't even do group messages. Who is that? What's going on with that? Anyway, so this thing jumps off the screen, and what's behind it? Why does suddenly I go from confident, joyful, happy, and then suddenly something happens that's got a spirit on it? And the thoughts, and then suddenly a person spiraling in depression or anxiety or fear. I want you to track your emotions back to what were the thoughts, the voices, the things that were spoken, and what was the spirit on those things? Because there is a spirit that wants to intimidate you, that wants to put fear on you. That's why Paul says to Timothy, thinking maybe this nervousness, maybe it's just God keeping me humble. And Paul writes, he says, God didn't give you a spirit of timidity. That's false humility. God didn't make you like that. He didn't make you second guess yourself all the time. He gave you power. That's power over the enemy. Love. So you know you're loved by your heavenly Father, and a sound mind. Today we're talking about how to get a sound mind. So we've got a number two. We've got to rebuke and resist the spirit. So there's a spirit that will try. Some things will come at you every day. The starting place, and we're going to do this at the end of this service, so particularly if you suffer from anxiety and fear a lot and intimidation, we're going to open up the altar. After the service, we're going to get the team worshiping, and we're going to pray. And in a moment, we can get anxiety as a spirit off you. We can get that thing off you from a fear point of view. It can shift. And then what you've got to do, the Bible says, submit to God and resist the devil. There's one thing to get him off you, but he won't just go, oh, I'll see you later, I'll see you, in eternity. He'll like, I'm coming back tomorrow. Come back tomorrow morning. I'm coming back tomorrow afternoon. Whenever you read, watch, there'll be certain things. I'm coming back to get on your thinking and harass you. So if you want to get free, I say this to people all the time, this message won't change your life, but what you do with this message could. And so if you made a determination to get up every day and go, God, I'm repenting of the lies that I've come into agreement with and have defined the way I think about myself, and I name them and I repent of them, and devil, I'm coming against you and resisting whatever it would be. So for years, as I got free from intimidation, I would literally wake up in the morning and part of my prayer time, pray in tongues, worship, hang out with Jesus, pray for people, but part, like a minute of my prayer time would be, today I'm resisting a spirit of intimidation, I'm resisting a spirit of rejection. I'm resisting a spirit of fear. Stay off my life in Jesus' name. Just like that. You can resist. Now this is, I call them baseball bat prayers. Okay, so that if an intruder came into your house, come on, I'm going to talk to some of the dads here right now. If an intruder came into your house, what you're going to do, John Owens might pull out his crossbow, but we don't recommend that. You're going to pull out your baseball bat, and you're going to just stare that guy, that intruder down and say, don't you dare come in my house. Get out of here. And lots of Christians, when the enemy comes with these thoughts to bombard, just are like, And the way you resist the devil is you have to fire up. Yeah, like there's an intruder trying to take hold of your thoughts, trying to dominate your thinking, and you have to get out of here in Jesus' name. Take authority. You've got authority. Now, okay, quick little theological training right now. When do you get the authority to overcome the enemy? When you get born again. You become one with Jesus. They're afraid not of you, they're afraid of Jesus. But now you've got the authority over the enemy. You just got to learn to use it, to swing that baseball bat. And you have authority. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. All right. So that's the second thing. Rebuke and resist. The third thing is, this is where we've got to go to work to renew our soundtrack. Romans 12 verse 2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That word is what we get the word metamorphosis from. So caterpillar to butterfly. Doesn't happen in a moment. It's not like an altar call and we go, can all the caterpillars come up? Thank you, Jesus. Butterfly, boom. Although, how cool would that be? Right, that would be we have Danielle's like a bit of a butterfly person, so we went through a butterfly phase, didn't we? And so a butterfly breeder, and we've actually watched them come alive, and it's really cool. But it's a progressive thing. Okay, think of it like this: we've got some builders in the house. Give me a wave if you're a builder. Who knows how to swing a hammer? Come on, let's go. Come on, thank you, Ben. I see. There we go. That's awesome. Love that. So, nails, screws, they're different, right? So if someone's screwed into a bit of timber, a long screw, or put in a nail, if we want to get the nail out, we pop it up with a hammer and then we easy, right? Just the nail can come like that. Screw, it's like if it's been driven in hard and you don't have a drill, you've got a screwdriver, it's work. You've got to work at it. Long as it took to get that thing in, it's probably going to take to get that thing out. So think like that, but think about your mindset and the difference between what's a demon problem and what's a mindset problem. When you've got a demon, it's like a nail. We can just get that thing out. But if your thinking has been corrupted over a long period of time, it's like, okay, I'll talk about myself. I was screwed in the head, literally like a screw. It's been screwed in over a period of time. I can't get a hammer and pull out a screw. It's got to be unscrewed. What we're talking about today, about getting a new soundtrack, is unscrewing wrong thoughts, wrong mindsets over a period of time. Repenting from the wrong thoughts, we're rebuking the enemy behind it, but the hard work comes where you've got to renew it. So you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So changing the way you think takes focus. It takes a period of time. Changing what's written on your heart. Proverbs tells us this, 7 verse 2 and 3. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. This is the word of God. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Write the word of God. Rewrite what's written on your heart about you by speaking the word of God. So this is how you do it. Let me break it down, make it real practical. You say, God, I need some scripture from you. I need some words that are about me, about the way you see me. I've been told this and I believe the lie, but now I need to know how you see me and what you say about me. Bring a scripture alive to me. So then you get the scripture, and then what you do is you personalize it. So the personalizing is where you... So for me, intimidated Pastor John at 29 years old, thinking I'm inferior to everybody, God encourages me out of Joshua chapter 1 and says, I want you to be bold, strong, and courageous. You'll lead this people into their promised land. And so I get that scripture that God speaks to me and I personalize it. So I start to say, I'm bold, I'm strong, I'm courageous, I'm going to lead these people into our promised land. So you get the scripture, you personalize it, and the last part of it is how you renew your mind. You declare it with attitude. You declare it with attitude. You get the Spirit of God on it. So I began to, each day I began at this page, walk up and down. I'd go to a place on the Sunshine Coast at Point Cartwright with a big lighthouse, and I'd just say, God, the Spirit of God's on me. You've anointed me to preach Isaiah 61, and I'm bold, and I'm strong, and I'm courageous. Now, the first 5 minutes, I'm like, I'm bold, and I'm strong, and everything in me is going, what do you think you're saying? You're lying. That's because while I'm doing it, I'm simultaneously unscrewing lies and then screwing in new truths. I'm renewing my mind by the power of the Word of God. So this is how you get a new mindset. Repent, recognize the lies and repent. Got to do that. I'm going to get the musos to come on up right now. Rebuke and resist the spirit behind those lies, not just for a day, but on an ongoing basis until you're free. And renew your soundtrack by declaring the promises of God. And I tell you, it will change your life from the inside out. Can we close our eyes right now?